And the fact that Bahia's story includes a sudden and unexpected death underlines the necessity that we grasp the fact of our own impermanence. Since last June's National Order Weekend, when we were introduced to the four preliminary practices, I've been using these reflections as my preparation for meditation. They include considering the impermanence of the, or my, human body. I deliberately remind myself that I don't know my own sell-by date. All I can be certain of is that there will be an end sooner or later. On one level, I think that this daily reflection has become part of my meditation wallpaper, something I don't always register properly. But on the other hand, I've noticed that my resolve to meditate has increased. Even when I'm experiencing chronic distraction, that reflection is sharpening my resolve, if somewhat slowly. The third vinyata is smriti, or mindfulness. This seems to be the content of the Buddha's instruction to Bahia. This is the core of the story. It's an uncompromising and simple message, but so profound that Bahia's limitations and wrong views dissolve instantaneously. But as John Ireland points out in the notes at the back of my edition of the Udana, Bahia was clearly ready to hear the teaching. It's as if what happened in Bahia's experience was identical to what he was being told, in the herd, only the herd. He did not question or have doubts, he just attended to what was being said and did what was being described, and so was not separate from the reality of pure awareness. He was fully present. Since mindfulness was introduced to me, I've been excited by its possibilities. I have watched myself be changed by it. Mindfulness, the word, conjures a sense of openness, clarity, a warm blue sky with layers of indigo that I saw once over the sea in Greece. And this sense lingers even when I am failing to count 10 breaths in the mindfulness of breathing. I remember working in the Jambala gift shop, as it was then called, in the late 80s with Ratnavandana and others. It was a busy situation in a small space. Sometimes it felt like being in a food mixer. I remember one day being on the shop floor arranging soap dishes or something on the shelves, and then being asked to fetch something from the stockroom. On my way through the narrow space by the stairs, a customer asked me the price of something that wasn't marked. It was too much. I just wanted to run. But I called to mind an exemplar of mindfulness, an unusual shop assistant in my mind, Bante. And I pictured the way he would move about the little shop. It did the trick. Suddenly, there was time and there was space. We also did things like use the handling of £20 notes as a kind of mindfulness bell, which reminded me to note the sensations in my body, becoming briefly aware of my breath. I didn't particularly like the shop work itself, but for me, we were metaphorically raking gravel into simple, lovely patterns outside a temple. Practicing mindfulness, I knew where I was, what I was doing, and how I felt about it. And it was like magic to me, so exciting because it was so different to how things had been before, where I had stood lopsided, leaning on one hip and not known it, sat with legs and arms knotted and didn't know it, didn't know how tangled my mind was, smiling when I was angry, laughing when I was sad, crying when I was happy. I didn't know I was asleep. Smriti is also defined as recollection. Mindfulness is about holding an object in mind, which may include something from the past. In terms of living in the present moment, this is fascinating, because the present moment will often include elements of the past and the future. The secret seems to be to slow things down enough to find the stillness that exists at the heart of every moment. Then the moment is big enough to hold past, present, and future lightly. We're all familiar with the four foundations of mindfulness, but I don't seem to hear them talked about much these days. Hopefully it's because we've taken in the practice so much that there's nothing to discuss. Still, I find mindfulness of the body is like an anchor. When I remember to note how I'm standing or sitting, I am usually more present to the other foundations too. I sometimes think of my sitting bones as the plug for the socket of my awareness. If I become aware of them as I sit at my desk or computer, I plug myself into the present. So presumably, Bahia experienced samadhi or intense concentration, the fourth vinyata. His mind chose to be and remained perfectly focused on the content of what the Buddha said. The Buddha was instructing Bahia and us to give our bare attention to the objects of our senses, including our mind sense. It's an exhortation to simply do one thing at a time, to note what we perceive, just that. It's about slowing down the tumult of our impressions, thoughts and feelings so that we sit in that quieter place before we react, before we jump to our hopes and fears. It's another way of talking about that part of the nidana chain on the wheel of becoming between feeling and craving. If we are simply with the sense impressions, we are not caught up in what we do or don't want from those sense objects, whether they be people, things or places. We're not involved with our views and expectations. Our experience is not about our likes and dislikes. We are just bearing witness to what is. This is how we dwell in the present moment. Anything else whirls us off in the vortex of memories and resentments, plans and desires. And by observing our sense impressions in this way, our chanda or desire can become desire for the Dharma through the experience of the senses. Bahia's experience started with his hearing and sight of the Buddha, but the fourth vinyata is concerned primarily with the mental object of perception. On hearing the Buddha's words, Bahia was transported beyond being a subject, experiencing the Buddha or his words as object. He became not different from the Buddha or his words, nor the same, nor presumably neither or both. And this was his realization of prajna, or analytical appreciative discrimination, or wisdom, which is the fifth object-determining mental event. His awareness was complete. He saw things as they really are. Because he died almost immediately, we don't get to hear his inspired utterance, but the Buddha offers a couple of verses instead. Where Bahia is, there shines no moon, yet there no darkness reigns. He is free from pleasure and pain. So maybe by reminding myself of the vinyatas, I can develop my awareness, not just in meditation, but in life, in my day-to-day activities. As I deliberately cultivate my interest, resolve and mindfulness, I can also create the conditions for intense concentration and hopefully a little prajna.